Well, let's jump right into our questions today, if you don't mind, Dave. And so one of the questions that that came in is from a listener that says, I'm suffering from bone spurs. I've been suffering from bone spurs for several years. Is there anything that I can do to help with that?
Absolutely. You know, bone spurs, a lot of people don't realize, are oftentimes associated with alkalosis. And alkalosis is a lack of sufficient amounts of hydrochloric acid in the body. And a lack of a sufficient amount of hydrochloric acid in the body also is tied to some cancers. And so it is actually a indication that something serious is wrong within your body. Arthritis is oftentimes associated with alkalosis as well. And so tendinitis oftentimes can be triggered by it. And so bone spurs are an indication that something serious is going on in your body. Oftentimes people with bone spurs have a history of having consumed alcohol, and if it isn't alcohol, then you may be really fond of citrus fruits. Oranges in particular seem to trigger bone spurs. Excess consumption of coffee with sugar added. In other words, if you put sugar in your coffee, that combination seems to also trigger the creation of bone spurs. Now, the things that you need to do but are difficult is to bicycle or swim. Do not walk or jog for exercise. Walking and jogging simply agitate because of the shoes that you need to wear. When you're bicycling, you can wear softer shoes, and when you're swimming, you don't need to wear shoes at all. Now, certain things like heel protectors, heel cushions, and rubber heels are very, very helpful in order to reduce the pain of bone spurs. But probably what you can do in order to relieve pain when you have it, one of the most important things that we have learned is that hot and cold compresses. You could actually put your feet, you could have two buckets, and you could put one bucket with hot water and one bucket with ice water, and you could move back and forth, and this creates a lot of circulation, and that circulation tends to help, break up the bone spurs. Now, what I strongly recommend is that you take a hydrochloric acid supplement. You also should take a magnesium supplement. Now, the magnesium supplement that I recommend is our Ionic Elements. Now, magnesium has the ability to dissolve calcium deposits, and that's very, very important because bone spurs are typically nothing more than built-up calcium. Now, another thing that might be very, very helpful is something like juniper berries, because juniper berries actually cause your body to create hydrochloric acid. But my number one recommendation is to take raw apple juice. That means you need to drink raw homemade apple juice, and you need to have 8 to 12 ounce glasses every single day. That's 8 to 12 ounces of raw apple juice every single day. And this will help to break up and eliminate the bone spurs. Now, again, if you mix 20 to 40 droplets of the Ionic Elements into the raw apple juice, it could be divided up like 10 droplets into each glass, 4 glasses a day, 40 droplets of Ionic Elements with the raw apple juice, along with the hot and cold compresses, then I think you're going to find that this is going to significantly relieve the pain and begin to break up and even eliminate bone spurs. And so I think it's very important to note that these can be treated naturally, that the best way to do it is with that raw apple juice every single day, along with hydrochloric acid or with juniper berries that help you to produce hydrochloric acid. But perhaps most importantly is that Ionic Elements for the rich magnesium that helps dissolve calcium deposits. Now, to avoid calcium deposits in the future, green drinks are the number one thing. And remember, avoid alcohol, orange juice, and coffee with sugar added. And those are that's our feeling on bone spurs. Amy, in your years of working at the health food store, Was there any other natural remedy that you could think of or remember?
Well, no, that pretty much sums it up, and I believe it's the malic acid content in the apple juice that is going to, it almost has a softening effect, doesn't it, on the bone spurs?
Yeah, the same reason why we recommend that to break up other deposits in the body like stones to soften those is that you're exactly right. That's the same reason why that works.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if perhaps you have a candida sensitivity, a health practitioner a long time ago had mentioned that the pure cranberry juice can have a similar effect to the raw apple juice if you have a candida sensitivity and can't deal with that much sugar from the apple juice.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I know that it is difficult to find the cranberry juice that's really raw and without added sugar, so be sure that you read
right, the ocean spray doesn't work.
No.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for that information on the bone spurs. The next question that had come in was, what do we have or what do we suggest for hiatus hernia? Also, I think it can be called hiatal hernia or maybe even gastric reflux. Are all those three synonymous for the same thing?
Yeah, you know, hiatal hernia, hiatus hernia, gastric reflux, all of these things are very, very similar, and there's really not much that makes them different. What we're talking about here is there's a group of muscles that control the valve on your esophagus, and as you swallow food, the valve opens and it allows the food to pass down into the upper GI. And then there's another valve called the duodenum that allows the food after it has resided in the stomach to move down into the lower portion of the stomach or the intestines. And what happens is we've talked about before, the sympathetic nervous system, the nerves that act without us thinking, the nerves that simply act in natural reaction to our body's function, they have somehow become spastic. They are no longer working properly, and as a consequence, gastric juices like bile and hydrochloric acid can find their way up into the esophagus, the lower portion of the esophagus, and this could be very painful. It could burn, it could be painful, and really, it is something that could be easily controlled, and that's what most people don't realize. The first thing to note is that hiatus hernia oftentimes can be triggered by certain foods. Chocolate and peppermint, chewing gum, tobacco, caffeine, tea, even soft drinks. We already mentioned like liquor, like beer and wine, but ice water is one of the worst things that you could take. It's not a food, but simply drinking really cold water needs to be avoided. Again, we're talking about orange juice and grapefruit juice should probably be avoided. Fried foods should be avoided. And cooked cabbage and Brussels sprouts, although they're really good for you in some ways, the sulfur compounds sometimes can cause sort of a disharmony because of hiatus hernia. So and unlike our other issue that we talked about, bone spurs, hiatus hernia could be caused because we produce too much hydrochloric acid. And so my guess is the person with hiatus hernia does not have bone spurs. Just
right.
Because of that
exactly.
Now, some people believe that a chiropractic adjustment could actually make a difference, but I have found that very few people actually get relief from the chest plate adjustment. What I believe is that when you have attacks, don't lie down. Don't, like, you know, you have to stay standing up because it just causes more of a splashing. If you eat fibers, foods with fiber, then that definitely helps to soothe, and it pulls, and it sort of, the fibers act like brushes and sponges, and they'll help to clean up the hydrochloric acid that may be rising up into the esophagus. If you don't chew your food well, the number one thing you could do for a hiatus hernia is to chew every bite of food 40 times. If you eat slowly, you chewed your food very well, and eat smaller meals, this alone could eliminate 90% of hiatus hernia. Juices like carrot juice and raw cabbage juice, parsley, spinach, any green juice, particularly wheatgrass juice like green kamut blend, is the number one thing that I have found among all of the juices to help to eliminate this problem. Now, we mentioned our liquid minerals. Well, the liquid minerals have a lot of magnesium, and magnesium helps control sympathetic nerve disorders. And so it could stop that fluctuation of the valve, the esophageal valve, that actually, you know, leads to that. You should not drink water or liquids while you're eating. This is perhaps along with chewing. So if I were to give the three most important things, Amy, it would be chew very well, do not drink liquids while you're eating, and dramatically increase your amount of green drinks in your diet. Some other things that lead to it are people who wear their belts too tight, their pants too tight, or even, you know, some people still wear girdles, and women who wear girdles are tend to get, I know that girdle's an old word, it even sounds funny saying it, but there are still some women who wear them, and they do contribute to hiatus hernia. Now, estrogen treatments, in other words, hormone replacement, also can trigger hiatus hernia because it changes the pH in your body. So green drinks, along with acidophilus and aloe vera, are my number one recommendations, and they work really, really well, like almost instantly. Now, Amy and I have a friend, he's a mailman, and he would walk around, and all day long he would have to eat Tums just to keep his hiatus hernia under control and his gastric reflux under control. Within 2 days of having three green drinks a day, he was off of Tums for life. And so we really can help this condition with the few lifestyle changes and a couple of supplements that we recommended.
Absolutely. I've heard so many testimonials on, you know, just incorporating the green drink, and then especially the green drink and the aloe vera is, you know, amazing.
Now, Amy, when you worked at the health food store, probably you guys recommended enzymes and probiotics as well for people with this condition. Is that right?
We sure did. So the Enzyme Advantage would also be a great addition to the diet.
Awesome. Yeah, so there's no doubt that this is a condition that can be dealt with naturally. And we love when we could help people, like, completely avoid these over-the-counter drugs with natural means, and this is a classic indication, a classic condition that could be completely cured from the symptoms, and eventually with the proper diet you could find that spastic valve will actually normalize and regulate its activity. So like you said, it could be hiatus hernia, it could be hiatal hernia, some people call it gastric reflux, some people call it GERD. There's a lot of names for it, but there's really only one answer, and that's to change your diet.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's something that people with some small changes can see some really big effects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's move on to the next question that we have, and that was a parent wrote in and said that the school system that their child attends is unable to, or the teacher in the school where my child attends is unable to handle my child appropriately, and he has ADD, and the parent does not really believe in medication. He doesn't want to medicate, although that is what the school is recommending. What can this concerned parent do while she's getting pressure from the school to medicate but wanting to do something natural before she tries that?
Well, you know, it's funny is that most of the people that I've worked with that have ADD or you know, they used to just call it hyperactivity, remember? The main thing that I've found is that diet is perhaps number one, but there is also, how could I say this? We have got to allow kids to be kids. The reason why we are inquisitive, the reason why kids ask questions, the reason they experiment, the reason why they test the boundaries of what is acceptable is because that's the way they learn. If you've ever watched a puppy and you've ever watched him and he's going to get into everything in your house, he's going to go around and smell everything, taste everything, knock everything over, climb up on what he can. And we don't say that dogs have ADD, do we? I mean, this is just part of learning, being inquisitive, being a little bit confrontational, being, you know, uncooperative. This is part of finding out who we are and what we are capable of. So sometimes just really good understanding and love and patience might be, you know, might be a big part of dealing with a child with ADD. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was diagnosed as being hyperactive as a child. They tried to put me on drugs, and I refused to take them. I just wouldn't. And you know, I have to say that I was in a school. It was a good school. It was a private school. They were teaching, but they would give us these lessons, and I would be done in 10 minutes with the lesson. They'd give us 45 minutes to do it, and I would, for 35 minutes, be left with boredom. And, oh, I was a troublemaker. I would shoot spit wads or talk to my friends or pass notes or tease somebody or take out a magazine and start reading Surfer magazine or something, and I was constantly in trouble. And I began to believe that there was something wrong with me. I mean, I began to question what's wrong with me, when in reality I just was inquisitive. I just wanted to learn. And when I got into an accelerated course, when I got to learn at my own pace, I literally finished the entire sixth grade curriculum in the first half of the year, well before the first half of the year was over. So for those months, I was fine. But as soon as I was bored again, I mean, literally, Amy, I was so bored because I had the rest of the year to go, and I already finished the entire curriculum.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I ended up getting thrown out of school because I just was flat out bored. And I'm not saying I wasn't a little bit of a handful, but all I'm saying is that understanding that sometimes these kids could actually be talented and gifted kids. Sometimes they could just be inquisitive kids. But I guarantee this, nutrition will always play a part. Amy, why don't you give the listeners some examples of foods that should definitely not be included in a hyperactive child's diet?
Well, foods that should not be included would definitely be sugar foods.
Exactly.
We want to eliminate any type of white sugar, white flour, white salt. So any of the highly processed, highly refined foods should be eliminated completely, if possible, from a child's diet. Also, any artificial dyes and colors.
Oh, that's the most important, Amy. I'm so glad you said that, because the research shows that there is a direct correlation between the brain's ability to reason and the consumption of artificial food colorings. I mean, this is a direct correlation.
So those red lollipops, those red popsicles, things like that, unfortunately, those are going to need to be eliminated. Kool-Aid. We need to definitely go to a more natural, whole food, plant-based diet with your child. Green drinks are some foods that should be incorporated. Have your child take a green drink, perhaps mixed with activated barley, rice bran, solubles, and carrot in the morning before they go to school. Also, the master amino complex has been used in many scientific studies, and they've had great promising results with using the master aminos with children with ADD.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, what's incredible is that we've found that the brain in the morning craves fat and protein, and it craves oxygen. And so if you have a green drink with some rice bran solubles and master aminos, your brain is going to be so satisfied, and it's going to be I actually had, when I was doing Health Talk Radio, I actually had a woman who called me and said, Dave, the school called, and they thanked me for putting my child on Ritalin. They were so happy. And I said, oh, my God, you've been listening to my show for a year, and you put your child on Ritalin? And she started laughing, and she says, no, I put him on your ADD battle plan. And he is so perfect at school, they all think that I put him on Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the biggest smile on my face that you could imagine. I mean, it just felt so amazing because this is a mom who took the time to care, you know, about her child and to do something natural. And it really, really worked. And so there is no doubt that the protocol that Amy gave you, a green drink with rice bran solubles along with 3 to 4 master aminos in the morning, and then also something like oatmeal for breakfast with a little bit of agave and maybe some bananas. A good piece of fruit like an apple or berries along with raw yogurt. These are some of the things that I'd like to see you giving your child for breakfast. Maybe some really hearty whole grain bread toasted with some coconut oil spread on top and a little bit of cinnamon. This helps the cinnamon helps stabilize blood glucose. The coconut oil helps feed good fats to the brain. The whole grain toast is a slow-burning carbohydrate. Be very careful about the foods that you're feeding your child, and most importantly, the protocols that Amy described, green drinks, rice bran, solubles, and master aminos, I'm telling you, will make such a huge difference that you'll not have to wait for results. You are going to feel results, and you are going to hear wonderful things coming back about your child.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that is the best, when the school calls and says, thanks for putting them on Ritalin.
Oh, my Lord.
That is hilarious.
100% true story. And those who are listening today who are listening on the show in New York, you remember that because it was one of the things we ended up being a course of discussion for, like, the rest of the show. So really good stuff. And remember, the last word on ADD is that kids with ADD need love too, man. They're not monsters. And I know that she's running for the presidency, and I have nothing really against Hillary Rodham Clinton, but I did have a little bit of a confrontation with her. She was on the news break, the 5-minute news break, on a short interview just before my radio show came on. And she was making an announcement that she had, as a state senator in New York City, had just gotten the federal government to approve $5 million to study using Ritalin for kids 5 years and younger.
Wow.
Now, Amy, you realize that children can't even reason till they're 6?
Exactly.
So I was wondering, at what point did we decide that we are giving birth to a nation of monsters? At what point have we abdicated our responsibility at proper parenting, or even giving proper parenting a chance, before we simply resort to medicating our children? What on earth could have happened in this child between birth and 5 years old to warrant that type of medication with such severe potential side effects and psychoneurological indications? I mean, Amy, let's face it, all of these school massacres, Amy, all of these kids who have gone in, and I'm talking about without exception, Amy, these are all kids who had been on psychoactive medications.
Wow, that's pretty
scary. Pretty damn scary. Avoid this at all costs.
Absolutely. So if anybody would like to check out that battle plan that Dave mentioned that also has a lot of the suggestions that we just talked about, you can go to phporder.com, click on the education tab, go to the battle plans, and you will see a list of battle plans, and ADD and hyperactivity is one of them. So feel free to download that and share that with anyone that you know that might benefit from that. So let's move on. We have time for one more question because we're running a little bit short on time here today. But the next question is a listener wrote in and said, I have irritable bowel syndrome and have heard that it could be cured with herbs. Why don't we talk a little bit about that? I know that we've had some wonderful success stories with curing it. Well, I don't know if you say curing it, mitigating it, suppressing the symptoms with some dietary changes, with some nutritional supplements included in the diet. So why don't you tell us, give us some suggestions, Dave, on what one can do to mitigate, if you will, or suppress the symptoms of irritable bowel, because I know it is it's a very painful condition. It's awful, and there's a lot of seems like more women than men that suffer from it. I actually kind of had self-diagnosed myself with having that condition, and after going to the doctor and explaining what's going on, and then they said, well, why don't you take an antidepressant? I'm like, no way, this is not an option that's going to work for me. So why don't you talk a little bit about what options we can do from a dietary standpoint and a nutritional supplement standpoint?
Well, here's what's funny about irritable bowel syndrome is irritable bowel syndrome, in my opinion, is a problem with the lining of the intestines. And so a lot of times this is all about whether your food digests properly and whether your food is going into the proper channels. And a lot of times, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, it's also known as a number of other names, Amy. They could call it leaky gut. They could call it, it's also associated to a certain extent with colitis. And a lot of people don't realize that if you, let's say that you have a really good diet and you eat a lot of fiber, do you know that a high fiber diet actually could cause irritable bowel syndrome?
Yeah, it can cause a flare up where most people think, oh, you have a problem, eat more fiber. That's the best thing too.
You know, Amy, what happens is, you know those the heavy fibers that we call dietary fiber?
Right.
They're like, they swell up and they're very like bulky. And so imagine like if you have a sock, right, and you put sand into a sock and it stretches, right? And then it stretches, and pretty soon the sand actually will start to come out through the fibers of the sock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, your intestines are a little bit like that. All of that fiber stretches the intestines, and the fibers of your intestines get stretched, and thus food that shouldn't pass into your body actually does. And so too much fiber of the dietary type actually contributes to and could cause irritable bowel syndrome. So using more soluble fiber foods as opposed to heavy fiber foods, chewing really, really, really good. And we keep getting back to this, but
right.
Chewing really good. If you eat high fiber, you'd better chew it very well.
Right.
And by doing that, you allow it to pre-swell. It absorbs the moisture from your mouth. It pre-swells, and it doesn't swell once it gets into your intestines. If it swells once it gets into your intestines, that's when it stretches the bowel. You also probably are lactose intolerant and don't realize it. Many patients with irritable bowel have undiagnosed lactose intolerance. Now, this doesn't mean that you're flat-out allergic. It just means that you don't react well to it. And when you eliminate milk products, you could markedly improve your symptoms. The protein molecules in milk and wheat are almost identical. I don't know if many people knew that. And so eliminating wheat products is also very, very beneficial. That's pretty hard because most people say no milk, no cheese, no bread, no cake, no pizza, no crackers, no biscuits. Are you kidding me? But you could do it. I mean, you really can. It's the casein in milk that is often added to other processed foods that you need to avoid as well, because casein, really is a major contributor. And so the number one thing I think that people report when they, in other words, when they start having excess gas, like they feel bloated and they have a distended stomach, and you're basically the quantity of bowel gas is reduced significantly once you improve the IBS, once you reverse the IBS. So you will know the treatment is working when you see that change in your body's function. Now, we have had some tremendous benefits with people with irritable bowel syndrome, and it's really quite a simple regimen. It has to do, for example, it has to do a lot with what you eat and what you don't eat. And we do have a great story about this is a girl. She's a model. She has been in, a lot of magazines. She is considered like a supermodel, but she had, she had serious gastric problems, and they became, as we just mentioned, obviously excess gas is not really a great thing when you're on a set.
No.
And you're supposed
not.
To be, yeah, yep. You're supposed to be sexy and, you know, and together, and instead you're sitting there worried, oh, my God, you know.
And you feel bloated, and that's obviously not what you want when you're on a set and having a photo shoot, or you're on TV and you're in a bikini.
Did you know, Amy, that the number one complaint among Americans is irritable bowel syndrome?
Wow.
And
I did not know that, but
yeah.
I know that almost every woman I know has problems with this from time to time.
Doctors call it spastic colon. People
right.
call it leaky gut. Some people believe that it's an autoimmune disease, but I don't think so. But again, if irritable bowel is as common as the cold in America, then something needs to be done. Obviously, candida can be a contributing cause. Too much flesh proteins can be a cause. Parasites could be a cause. Food allergies could be a cause. Too many antibiotics could have triggered this as well. Too many simple carbohydrates, those sugars that we talk about, birth control pills, and hormone replacement therapy are all contributing to this. You want to avoid acidic foods. You want to avoid alcohol. You want to avoid caffeine. You know, you want to make sure you don't allow your body to get constipated. Carbonated drinks really contribute to it. Fried foods contribute to it. And also, foods that produce gas, obviously, like beans and cooked cabbage, Brussels sprouts, and things also can contribute to it. So here's what Amy and I suggest. Eat smaller meals and chew very well. Are you starting to see a pattern? This is like,
yes.
You know, eliminate milk, right? Eliminate what you want to do is you want to include some spicy foods in your diet. You don't want to avoid spicy foods. You want to intermix them. Vitamin C and E are potentially beneficial, but what me and Amy recommend the most are digestive enzymes and probiotics. Digestive enzymes and probiotics are going to be the basis of your recovery. Taking green drinks on a regular basis is going to be very, very beneficial. Another thing is the apple juice we talked about, a lot of water. Carrot juice is very good. Raw honey actually helps, but the thing that I say the most, Amy, the number one product that we have is going to be the activated barley. And the reason why is because it has the beta-glucan gel that will adhere to the intestinal wall and begin to heal it. It has beta-glucan 1-3-1-6, which boosts the immune system. And so you absolutely, with a combination of enzymes and probiotics, green drinks, and
activated barley,
and if you add the aloe vera. That's
what I was about to say. Add the aloe vera, and that is, you're definitely going to see improvement, marked improvement.
Absolutely. So I know that I sort of grabbed the bull by the horns on that one, Amy, and I think it's just because I was all excited. Do you want to, anything that you want to contribute to that?
That's pretty thorough. I mean, I would recommend 2 to 3 green drinks mixed with activated barley a day. Really get the water intake up there. I think closer to 80 to 100 ounces a day is what I've found really helps me. And just a lot of whole foods, you know, a lot of, I eat a lot of Granny Smith apples because the sugar content is lower than regular apples, but yet the fiber is good. And you also need to be conscious about candida. So again, eliminate or really watch the sugar foods because the candida can also contribute, and it all kind of seems to play hand in hand. And I think that's why a lot more women suffer from irritable bowels because a lot more women suffer from candida. And again, like I said, they kind of go hand in hand. And as you're changing and modifying your diet and you're incorporating probiotics and green drinks and eliminating sugar, you're going to be fighting against both the candida and the irritable bowel, and you will absolutely feel better.
No, you're absolutely correct in that. And, you know, the one thing maybe I didn't talk about was our daily fiber blend. And the daily fiber blend is loaded with soluble fibers. But because we recommended the activated barley, it's a little bit redundant. But the daily fiber blend has fennel, black walnut, and pumpkin seeds, and parasites oftentimes contribute to this condition called irritable bowel. So if you believe that there may be a parasitic, factor in this that's contributing to the condition, then you might want to include the daily fiber blend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good product, and that one is good. Like, I used to always have the kind of, before bedtime snack, and, of course, we usually choose something that was sugary, which, again, is bad for the candida. But maybe instead of that, mix up a daily fiber, maybe with some plain almond milk, and it makes you full. So you're full during the night, and it works gently over the night. So then you wake up and have a regular bowel movement in the morning.
Exactly, that's really important that you keep the bowels moving, and that they're very smooth, that there's no pain involved, and so. That's important, and the daily fiber blend will really help with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for all that great information. We've kind of gone a little bit over on time here, so I wanted to mention the replay line again and also invite everyone to join us on to our product knowledge calls. I hope everybody knows that we have product knowledge calls on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the same call-in line that you called in on today. And archives of those calls are also available on the website at www.phporder.com. They also have a replay line. That replay line number, if you want to grab a pen, is 212-461-8911. Last night's call was all about men's health and prostate. So if you'd like to take a listen to that, that'd be great. Again, 212-461-8911. If you'd like to re-access this call or you would like to pass it along to a friend or family member, that replay line number is 212-990-6260, and it is also available. It will also be available on our website as a permanent archive at phporder.com. Again, if you'd like to submit questions for future Health Discovery Show calls, you can call into customer service at 888-747-6733, or you can email your question in at info@phporder.com, and that will get passed along to David and myself, and we will make sure that we answer your question on a future call. So thank you very much, Dave, for inviting me onto this call, and I will be joining you hopefully each and every Thursday, and I look forward to it.
Great. Yeah, it was really awesome having you with me today. You would never know it was your first time. And what we usually do, Amy, we do usually offer a special on the show for people who are listening for the first time. So today what we'd like to offer is our golden organic flax seeds. When you buy two at the retail price, you get one for free. So that's buy two flax seeds at the retail price, get one for free. And, of course, our golden organic flax seeds are loaded with lignan, which is really effective at helping control tumors in the body. It's loaded with essential fatty acids called GLA or gamma-linoleic acid, which is very similar to the healthy fats that are found in salmon and other oily fish that are so good for the heart. And, of course, it has the beta-glucan fiber, which helps lower cholesterol and keep the bowel clean. And that beta-glucan fiber is the same fiber that is in the activated barley that helps to soothe, obviously, the hiatus hernia. So a little bit of information for you about flaxseed. And, of course, you could always visit our website, www.phporder.com, to learn more details about all of the subjects that Amy and I have covered on the show today. So Once again, Amy, thank you for your contributions and for participation. And everybody who took the time to listen in today or those who will listen on the replay line, thank you as well. And if you have questions, by all means, submit them, and we will answer them on the air. For those of you who are waiting for the hypoglycemia and multiple sclerosis questions, they will be at the top of the list next week, and along with other questions that have come in over the next 7 days. So once again, everybody, thank you. God bless. And until next week, we'll look forward to seeing you then.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of the week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.